Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about as Ohio State is heading to the national championship game. The Buckeyes defeat the Texas Longhorns, the SEC Texas Longhorns. Stick it to the Longhorns there as they were able to defeat them 28 to 14. I do apologize to everybody. I know I said it for like right before noon there in the chat, but or the on YouTube, but I got a little carried away talking with Mike over on the Ohio State channel of the Voice of College Football. So if you were still hanging out, if you're still here checking it out, greatly appreciate it. Greatly appreciate all of you who are willing to do that. But we got a lot to discuss because this game was nothing like the Oregon game, nothing like the Tennessee game. This was battle-tested Ohio State. This was Ohio State having to test their will in a lot of ways, test their demons that they had left over from the Michigan game. This game felt like that game in a lot of ways for Ohio State. And I have a few things I want to go over. The first thing I'll do is I'll get into my takeaways. I'll get into kind of my takeaways from the game. What was kind of the biggest stuff that happened? Obviously, there is an interception that will be talked about when we get into that. I'm going to go through and grade each position group for Ohio State in this matchup. And then finally, I want to give my three decisions that Ryan Day made that changed the game in my mind. With so much discussion around Ryan Day, I said at one point earlier before the playoffs that it was probably time for Ryan Day to go. I'm eating those words right now because Ryan Day is looking like a mastermind in a lot of ways, even with Ohio State struggling in some ways in this one. So I know some of you guys' comments were from earlier, but I do want to address them as we come in. So John says, if OSU wins the Natty, check out Home Field Apparel. They'll probably be dropping championship gear for fans, and they make the best stuff. You are correct, John, and we have you guys helped out because there is a link in the description that can get you $10 off or 10% off, one of those two, your very first purchase of Home Field Apparel. So if you've never checked it out, and that revenue sharing helps me out as well. So look for the link in the description, either on the podcast feed or the YouTube feed or the Rumble feed if you're there as well. If you're on X, I apologize. I think I might have put it in the pinned tweet, maybe. But anyway, just go check out YouTube if you want it. Philip says Big Ten 5, SEC 1. Yes, that's huge for the Big Ten in the postseason. In fact, this is the first time. I need to go back and check and see if this has ever happened in the Big Ten before. This is the first time in Ohio State program history that Ohio State has defeated a current SEC team, a current SEC team twice in the same season. They have had 5 wins over the SEC before, including that Tennessee game. I think 2014 Alabama, 1993 Vanderbilt, 1990 or 1935 Kentucky. I believe they beat LSU 88 maybe, but those are the 5 beforehand. Now they have 6 wins over the SEC, the Big Ten with 5 wins over the SEC this season. That is huge. So John also says a buddy of mine is a Texas fan, and he was very confused as to why they were throwing on the 1 yard line. They even tried running the ball. Then they tried running the ball. Yeah, we're gonna talk about the goal line stand as well. That's in my takeaways to note as well. Brian Myers says Zeke's 85 yards through the heart of Dixie's, heart of Dixie or heart of the South, one of those two. And then Captain Jack, 85 yards through the heart of Texas. Technically, I think it was 82, but who's counting? You know, it's 87 yards through the heart of Texas. Yeah, that would have been a real good line. I honestly, truthfully, Chris Fowler could have said the line. I wasn't listening. I was freaking out so much at the huge play by Jack Sawyer for Ohio State. He came up with a huge play against Michigan, and it was never able to be recognized for how big of a play it was because of how terrible the offense was for Ohio State and really how good the Michigan defense was. I don't want to take anything away from them, how good the Michigan defense was as well. But in this one, Jack Sawyer just said, I ain't falling down. I'm getting myself to the end zone, and he was able to do that. What a legacy moment for Jack Sawyer. What a moment for a kid that grew up in Columbus, grew up a Buckeye. It's huge. It's huge for them. So huge for him, huge for everything. So, and overall, like, I know this is going to be obviously a very Ohio State-centric episode as we're recapping the game, but, like, just what a moment for the Big Ten, right? No SEC teams in the national championship. If you want to be consistent, you got to say if Penn State had a cakewalk to the semifinals, Texas had a cakewalk to the semifinals as well. Barely beating Arizona State. I know they got Cam Scadaboo, but guess what? Boise State had Ashton Jeanty, and Penn State was able to blow them out. Well, blow them out, win by a couple scores, two or three scores in that one. And then Texas struggles against Arizona State, goes into overtime with them, and they gave Ohio State a very good fight into the fourth quarter. Looked like they possibly could have won that game, and then the goal line stand. Let's start there. If you guys have any thoughts on any of my takeaways, please do put them in the chat. I want to know what you guys are thinking. When I do these solo shows on my own, it's a little bit harder to kind of generate all the thoughts and everything. So, you know, you guys feel free to put stuff in the chat, and I'll try my best to get to it as well. Montana says Jerry Jones was drooling looking at Jack Sawyer. Yeah, he was. I bet he was. I bet he was thinking to himself, that guy's going to be in the draft this next year, right? Probably a number of players that he was thinking that about. The only player that won't be in the draft that he was probably drooling over was Caleb Downs. But he didn't even have his best game. He got that stiff arm by Gunnar Helm that kind of impacted him there. So yeah. Montana says, I said in April, great take by you. And it'll be back-to-back Big Ten teams in the Natty with no SEC teams. I mean, at this point, can we, like, kind of call Notre Dame, like, an honorary Big Ten team? Like, if they're going to join a conference, they're joining the Big Ten, right? Like, and they're a northern team. They're not an Atlantic Coast team. They're a northern team. Like, I don't know. I know I said earlier in the season that, you know, I wasn't a super huge fan of Notre Dame, but I gotta be honest, guys, I do like this Notre Dame team. And we did the talk about Marcus Freeman and everything, me and Zach, and I turned that into a video. Not a lot of you guys watched it. That's okay. I get it. You guys are more Big Ten centric, but, like, I don't know, like, this Notre Dame team, what a story, what a coach, and, Marcus Freeman with what he's been doing. So I just, I'm really, really impressed with Marcus Freeman and what he's been able to do. And part of me is wondering, did I ever dislike Notre Dame for Notre Dame, or did I just dislike Brian Kelly? Because I saw that tweet earlier today, and I thought, that is metaphorical right there. That's the stuff right there. Maybe I never actually hated Notre Dame. Maybe I just didn't like Brian Kelly. John says, Notre Dame's been playing well, but I don't see them hanging with Ohio State. Riley Leonard is going to get mauled. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, part of me feels like, and so I'll just get into my takeaways right here. Part of me feels like this offensive performance for Ohio State was good for them. My partner Mike on the Ohio State Voice of College Football postgame show made the point, and I'll reiterate it here, but I want to give him credit. Like, Ohio State saw Tennessee's tempo. That got them ready for Oregon's tempo in that game. So then now you're getting yourself ready for a hard-nosed defense that's going to take away the big plays in Notre Dame by playing Texas, right? Who did just that in this game. And yes, Derby, I totally agree with you. Notre Dame's defense is elite. It's very, very good. Some people will look at that score and say, well, they gave up 24 points to Penn State. But every single one of those 24 points was earned. And Notre Dame's defense, even though their defensive line is not super big, like, they're athletic and they're able to get around those blockers. So for Ohio State, I mean, obviously the defensive line is not the same, but the way they played defense, they had those safeties like 20 yards back, and there were a lot of Ohio State fans that were critical of Chip Kelly in the second quarter when the offense started to go south, saying, like, and even Zach was saying it, you know, oh, they're not doing that great of a job, and, you know, Chip Kelly is kind of reverting to what he did against Michigan and stuff like that. I didn't really see that. I felt like Ohio State's offense was just so undisciplined. The penalty by Trevion Henderson punching the defensive lineman. You had the false start. You had the holding. Like, there were penalties there that the offense was having that just kept moving them back. And I pointed it out to people on Twitter. Like at one point during the second half, Ohio State had a third and average of 12 yards on third down. Third and 12 was their average, what they had to do on third down. Like, that's terrible. That is awful. If you find yourself in a situation where you are third and 9 plus, well, that's what Ohio State was averaging on third down there toward the end of the second quarter and through most of the third quarter as well. I think they finished that way as well. I'll have to check to make sure I've got my advanced analytics here. Ohio State was average third and 10 for the entire game. Like, I get it. I get a lot of people are upset with the play calling of Chip Kelly. I get, you know, they're running into the middle of the defense a little too much. But, like, as a play caller, that's really, really hard to get through those situations when you are on third and long that many times. Ohio State had 3 third down conversions out of 10 attempts. They only had 1 third down conversion between third and short, which is 1 and 4 yards. The rest were between 5 and 7 yards, 2 other ones. They didn't have a single third down conversion on 9-plus yards, and they had 4 of those in this game. So that was huge for them, and it really affected their play calling as well. So that's my first takeaway, was penalties, drops as well. Ohio State had 4 drops in this game. I counted. The stat sheet I have said that they had only 2, but I'm gonna count the drop that Jeremiah Smith had earlier in the game. Yes, he was fully extended up, but it still hit him in the hands. So as far as I'm concerned, if a ball hits you in the hands, it's a drop. Same thing happened similarly to Emeka Egbuka down the field. I believe that was in the third quarter. No, it was on that scoring drive. It was on that scoring drive. So in the fourth quarter, I believe it was. Sorry, guys. I'm doing a lot of talking. Just got through a whole other show. Thankfully, that one was with another person. But Emeka Egbuka drops that one. It was kind of knocked loose by the safety, but I felt like it wasn't knocked loose until the ball got through his hands. So, again, as far as I'm concerned, like, you, the ball hits you in the hands, it's a drop. So I counted 4 drops for Ohio State, 1 by Jeremiah Smith, 1 by Carnell Tate, which would have been a touchdown. Really wasn't a big deal because Quinshon Judkins ran it into the very next play. But then 2 by Emeka Egbuka in that game. One of them would have been a first down when they really needed it. So, you know, that was huge. And then there was a play in the second quarter that it was a read play, and it was a very obvious give. It was a very obvious give, but Will Howard pulled the read, and he just got swallowed up by like 3 Texas defenders right away. And Quinshon Judkins, if he would have taken it, he would have been one-on-one with the safety and would have been able to get to the end zone if he was able to juke the safety. So I felt like that was a big takeaway for me, was how undisciplined Ohio State's offense was, not just in the first half, it continued into the second half as well. The penalty on Austin Seierfeld, that's the offensive lineman, that was the unsportsmanlike penalty where there was kind of a pile of Texas defenders. I think it was on first down, Will Howard threw the ball for like 15 yards, and there was a pile of Texas defenders with the wide receiver. And they keep trying to push him back. Apparently the whistle blows. I didn't hear it before it happened, but apparently the whistle blows. And then Austin Seierfeld goes in and you know, basically just hits a pile of Texas guys and takes them out. So, you know, I don't know. I guess if the whistle blew, it should be a flag. But felt like to me Texas was still playing in that situation. So if you got guys still playing, I don't know. To me, that's a big deal. Another takeaway that I had was Will Howard started trying to force the ball to Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith in this game, if I'm not mistaken, he did not have a single catch. Yes, he did not have, or he had 1 catch for 3 yards. I apologize. I thought that was a run. He had 1 catch for 3 yards. He was targeted only 3 times in this game. And one of those targets was, like I said, the deep ball that he missed. And then the other one was the one that was an interception. And I felt like, in that moment, that was when Will Howard was like, I got to get this guy involved. This guy has been huge for us all season. And then he throws an interception on the first drive of the second half. And I felt like that was impactful, that Ohio State, after that interception, did not go to him again. It wasn't at fault of Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith, just he was in a situation where they were not going to let Will Howard throw the ball to him. And Jeremiah Smith has said before, like, you just throw the ball up to me and I'll get it. Well, they threw the ball up to him on that one play and it went through his hands. So, excuse me. They threw the ball up to him on that one play and it went through his hands. So at a certain point, you got to get other guys involved, which they did. Carnell Tate was a leading receiver for 87 yards, seven catches, 87 yards. Terry says, congrats, JR and OSU fans from an Indiana fan. Appreciate that, Terry. It'd have been cool to face off with Indiana in a national championship, but that's not the situation we find ourselves in. But how cool for Indiana, right? Their only two losses this season are the two teams in the national championship game. I don't know if that's cool, but that is absolutely crazy. Indiana, the team that Kirk Herbstreit said didn't belong in the playoffs, that other people said didn't belong in the playoffs, which I know some people who listen to this say they shouldn't, and that's fine. I understand what you're saying, but their only two losses on the season were to the two teams in the national championship. That's pretty crazy. Hummus Hero says, hey, JR, OHIO. Hummus Hero, appreciate you being here. I didn't know how many Buckeye fans we'd have in here with me coming on so late, but I appreciate all of you being here. So my next takeaway, Ohio State's three and outs killed them, absolutely killed them. At the start of the second quarter, from the beginning of the second quarter, they did not have a single drive of five plays or more until the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter started with, the Texas punted right at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And then Ohio State gets the ball on the 12, I think it was. And from there, they had a 13-play, 88-yard drive. Up until that point, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They had 7 drives of 5 plays or less. Now, one of those plays was the screen pass to Travion Henderson that ran for a touchdown. So, technically, it was less than 5 plays. It was only 1 play. But still, they were not able to move the ball in the second quarter. And it felt like that was when Texas's defensive line and their, Sonny says, release the celebration video. If I get it loaded up, I got to get it loaded up. My phone is a little, doesn't have the best service up here. But I'll do an ad here in a second after I get done with my takeaways, and I'll try to get it downloaded and loaded up. But I do have a celebration after Jack Sawyer got the touchdown there. So, all right, I just downloaded it from my wife. So I'll get that loaded up when I'm done with my takeaways. But yeah, so they weren't able to get any drives going. And then they have that 13-play, 88-yard drive to get the touchdown. The Will Howard run, was that on a fourth down or third down? That was huge. He's been falling down all season. He looked super athletic at Kansas State, being able to run for these big, long gains and everything. Maybe it was just Big 12 defenses. I don't know if they're just that much slower or what, but Will Howard, he fell down on that one. I made a joke on the Ohio State show that he's been in such a good weight room with Ohio State that they got him top heavy now. He's got too much shoulder muscle, too much chest muscle, too big of arms, and now he's too top heavy, so he's falling over. But no, that's a joke. I don't know if that's true at all, but yeah, Ohio State in this game, they had 3 3 and outs. Texas only have 1 3 and out, and just absolutely crazy how much the defense of Ohio State was able to still play well even through that. And then the defense of Ohio State not being able to cover the running backs on that drive. They never adjusted. And even on that play that they scored, Sonny Styles, who looked like he should have had the running back. I don't know if maybe they were doing something else different or maybe there was a miscommunication. He blitzes. And so the running back runs out of the backfield, wide open. Wide open. Makes his way to the end zone. They found a weakness in Ohio State's defense there. Now Ohio State corrected it the very next drive. So a lot of credit goes to Ohio State to be able to correct that. Texas wasn't able to take that easy stuff the entire game, but man, that was critical for Texas to be able to score on that drive, being able to get the ball to the running backs. And they would have gotten them to the running backs even more if it wasn't for Ohio State knocking the ball down. Ohio State had 4 balls knocked down at the line of scrimmage by defensive linemen. So that's absolutely huge. And then Ohio State, their best part of the game, man, guys, that goal line defense won Ohio State the game against Penn State earlier in the season. Sorry, Penn State fans. I know it's hard to bring up, and I'm not trying to I'm not trying to pile on because I know you guys are going through it. Great season for Penn State, though, by the way. But that Penn State, that goal line defense against Penn State showed up, and then that was all I could think about when Texas got to the goal line. That's all I could think about was, all right, this goal line defense has been amazing all season long. It won a game for them earlier in the year. Can they replicate that? Can they do it again? Texas tries to run it up the middle. Nothing. They try a pitch play. They try a pitch play. One of my buddies, actually it was Sonny, I think, asked me, like, why are they running a pitch play? Why are they running it to the outside? There's some kind of crazy stat out there. I can't find it for sure, but there's some kind of crazy stat out there that, like, teams are only having success running the ball on the goal line 20% of the time, which, if you know anything about run success rate means that they determine how many yards are needed to stay on schedule. So, obviously, on first down, on schedule is typically somewhere between 3 to 4 yards, just so that way kind of keep the drive going. If it's third and three, you need 3 yards. If it's third and one, it's 1 yard. And so if you get those yards, you have a success. So for within, I think it's 3 yards, teams are only having a successful run, which is a touchdown, against Ohio State 20% of the time. So Sark is really into numbers. He's one of those guys that really believes in that stuff. So what I think probably happened is I think Steve Sarkisian probably knew that number, and then he says, "I'm not going to let him do it to us like they have other teams. I'm going to take the ball outside. You know, maybe get him on the pitch play." It didn't work. It didn't work. Ohio State was able to make it happen, and yeah, just absolutely huge, huge from them that they were able to do that. So. And then Jack Sawyer, obviously the defensive line for Ohio State played great all game. When they were getting pressure on Quinn Ewers, there was a lot of blitzing by Jim Knowles there for a while. I didn't think they needed it. I felt like they were getting pressure, even when JT Tuimoloau was out, they were still getting pressure on Quinn Ewers. So to me, like, you didn't really need it, but just a fantastic game, and I felt like that was redemption for Jack. Obviously, Jack gets the interception against Michigan about a month or two ago, and the offense wasn't able to capitalize because of their struggles that day, and also just good defense by Michigan. But he doesn't even let it be the case this time. He just takes the ball, goes for the touchdown, runs 80 some yards through the eye of Texas, the heart of Texas, whatever you guys want to call it, and gets to the end zone. What a fantastic play. What a legacy play for Jack Sawyer and everything. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. Like I said, I got a video for you guys on that one. I'll have to upload it here in a second when I go to commercial, and do that. I can do it from my phone, so I'll do that. But yeah, so just great stuff there. Great stuff, guys. All right, I'm gonna hit a break really fast so that way I can do this, and we will be right back. Have you ever wanted to watch all 22 film, that film the coaches watch? Well, now you can. Introducing the Coaches Film Room. Over at Minutes to Sports, former college coach Zach Smith breaks down film of the most relevant teams in college football with a bit of a Big Ten lead. It's not free, so you'll need to sign up for the Colonel tier, which is $25 a month, but I can attest to you that it is far more worth it than that. With about 4 to 8 games per week, this is worth so much more money, not to mention Zach's analysis making you a smarter football fan. Go check it out. The links are in the description. MinutesToSports.com. You won't. Home Field is your go-to destination for premium collegiate apparel with a passion for comfort and a flair for vintage design. Home Field brings you gear that is comfortable and stylish. With over 150 colleges to choose from, Home Field digs deep into the archives, uncovering forgotten logos, iconic mascots, and legendary moments to create one-of-a-kind apparel. Use my code TBTH for 15% off for new customers, or use my link in the description. The Big Ten Huddle is brought to you by the College Huddle, the largest fan-led college sports podcast community on the internet. With contributors from 70 different schools, you will get in all kinds of analysis from all over the country. Go visit thecollegehuddle.com to find your team and read articles from all across so many fans and contributors. The College Huddle is fan-made, fan-driven, and fan-fueled. All right, I'll start this over. So for quarterback in this game, Will Howard was the only one. Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Dave. Will Howard was the only one that played quarterback for Ohio State. He was 24 for 33, 289 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Overall, he also ran the ball seven times for 4 yards, one or two of those with sacks. Overall, with Will Howard, I was pretty well impressed in this game. Felt like he did a good job. He did force the throw to Jeremiah Smith. We talked about that a little bit on the takeaways. So I didn't love when he did that. But overall, I think he played a good game for the Buckeyes. I felt like he was a leader. Felt like he was in control of himself for most of the game. And you know, some of those passes were dropped. We talked about those. Some of those passes were dropped. Those were difficult. Those were hard to deal with, obviously. So, you know, you hate to see that. But he was able to get through that stuff, and then he was able to have the drive at the end of the game, getting down the field and being able to and being able to still make a difference for his team. So I definitely liked that he was able to do that. And then as far as I'm concerned, the whole running and everything, I made the joke about him not being able to stay upright. But overall, Will Howard did what he had to do to win the game. He didn't do anything spectacular. This wasn't like the Oregon game where he was just kind of dealing and doing everything he wanted, doing whatever he wanted. He did what he had to do to win the game. And as far as I'm concerned, if you do that, I'm going to give you a B. So I'm going to give you a B for that one. Dave says, how the heck did Texas not know that he was in the quarterback sneak? It was on the 4th-and-2 play. Even I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, I mean, they put those wide receivers out wide, and I think Texas was just so concerned with the wide receivers all game. They were like, okay, we'll put a safety in the box, and the safety, or maybe the safety and the linebacker, will be able to take care of if they hand it off or something. But I think they just didn't want the wide receivers to beat them. And so they put everything out there to make sure they were paying attention to them. And then Will Howard runs it up the middle. And I think it was just a fantastic run by Will Howard. And it was very well blocked by the offensive line. I think they had hat for hat, especially in that run game with the quarterback. You don't lose a hat in those situations. And that was one of the reasons why guys like Urban Meyer made such a living off of running their quarterback, is because you would have everybody blocking and there would only be one guy loose and one guy that was a quarterback. When you're handing it off, you automatically lose that quarterback, so you're down one more guy. So you run the ball like that. QB power, Will Howard is as big as he is. It sets it apart. So Brian Myers says, did it sound like Herbie was drinking to anyone else among others? He kept calling Judkins Junkins. I've heard people call him Jenkins all year long. So Herbie's just going through whatever everybody else is going through. So either Herbie was drunk and everybody else was too, but I think sometimes you're talking so much. Honestly, this game I didn't even notice Herbie as much as I usually do. So next year I think I'm just gonna watch the McAfee, actually in the national championship game I might just watch that McAfee pot, that McAfee cast over everything else, because that seems to be the most entertaining one. Yes, John, early opening line, OSU -9.5 versus Notre Dame. We'll talk about that at the end. Thank you for bringing that up. I saw that on FanDuel. So, and Dave says, and him tripping on the turf actually helped Ohio State. It took some of the time off the clock. That's just a great drive by Ohio State. It was, and it was just exactly what they needed in that moment. I do agree that, maybe the trip did help him. Obviously, in that moment, you're not thinking that because you want to score. But with hindsight 2020, that they did score, took more time off the clock. And obviously, Texas was pressing a little bit there at the end and when they were trying to throw the ball. And that's how Jack Squire got the strip sack and was able to win the game for the Buckeyes. Next position, running backs, B+. Trevion Henderson, I'm giving them a B+. Trevion Henderson, he had 6 carries for 42 yards. Quinshon Judkins had 9 carries for 36 yards. Trevion Henderson did have the catch for 75 yards. That was a touchdown. And then Quinshon Judkins also had 3 catches for 22 yards in this one. So all together, all purpose yards for the running backs, you had 117 for for Henderson, and then you had quick math, 36 and 22. You had 58 for Henderson. So altogether, that's nearly 200 yards receiving and rushing together. Like I said, B plus. There was some stuff I thought could have been better. I did think you weren't running the ball well enough at times. Trevion did have 7 yards per carry. Quinshon only had 4, but some of that is also just with how they were using him at the goal line and stuff like that. So, you know, I didn't think it was like anything spectacular, but what I did love that maybe should put it up to A-, and how those guys were blocking. Quinshon Judkins had the amazing block on the Trevion Henderson run. Trevion Henderson, he had some good pass blocking as well. Quinshon Judkins, he was just ready to hit somebody every single time he was out there on the field, whether he had the ball in his hand or not. He was getting ready to hit somebody, and I love that kind of mentality out of the players. So B+, maybe A- is what I go with for Ohio State, or for the running backs of Ohio State. Wide receivers, honestly, guys, like this is probably gonna be the lowest ranking on the offense for Ohio State because they just had the drops, right? Like if Jeremiah Smith or Emeka Ebuka was able to pull in one of those deep balls, I know they weren't the best throws by Will Howard. They were kind of outstretched going up for it. But still, those balls hit you in the hands. Like, as far as I'm concerned, you got to catch those. So, Ohio State, their wide receivers struggle with catching the ball. Carnell Tate drops the touchdown pass. Emeka Buka drops the first down as well. Those are tough situations. So, I'm actually going to give the wide receivers a B-. Obviously, they had a good day. Carnell Tate was the leading receiver, 87 yards. Emeka Buka was next with 51 yards. But Jeremiah Smith only had one catch for 3 yards. Like, I know they were taking him away all game. I just talked about that. But as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, it is what it is. You got to be honest with the grade. So Dave asked, did Ohio State fans chant SEC or is Texas not obnoxious as Tennessee about it so they don't do it? Or did ESPN try to block it? ESPN, they do try to block things if it's embarrassing sometimes. I do think you're correct in that, Dave. I did not hear the SEC. I don't know. I think there was just so much on the SEC stuff for the Tennessee game just because of all the talk and everything. At this point, I don't even know if the SEC is that big of a talking point because we just all know they're not as good as the Big Ten, right? We just all know it. So, like, I'm with you, Dave. I would have loved to hear them chanting SEC like they did at the Tennessee game. But at this point, it's like the ultimate disrespect where it's like we're not even going to acknowledge that we're going to chant it. Maybe they did, and I just didn't hear it. But if they didn't, yeah. And I'm with Brian Myers. Texas doesn't feel like an SEC team. Yeah, it's their first year in there. They don't feel like it as much. But they are. They are. I think there were some SEC fans that were like, we're not cheering for them yet because they don't deserve it yet, which I thought was funny. So, Brian says, can't wait to see the SEC shorts. Should be pretty good. They do a lot. That's my favorite part of the SEC is the SEC shorts. They have some really good videos that they do. Tight ends. I will give tight ends a B for this game. Will Kazmarek came up with some clutch catches for them. I liked that he was able to do that. G. Scott had the good catch. I think it was like a 7-yard gain or something in this one. I think those were the only catches by tight ends. Oh, G. Scott had 5 catches. All right, so I'm missing some. But he had 5 targets, 5 catches. So G. Scott, you know, able to do that. So that's good for them. But as far as I'm concerned, like tight ends for me, I felt like they had a good game. So I'm going to give them a B. Dave, I'll get to your comment in just 1 second after I do the offensive line for Ohio State. I'm going to give them a B as well. They weren't able to run the ball as well. And they were getting pressure on Will Howard. But I felt like that play when Will Howard ran the ball up the middle, it was just so open for him. Now, part of that is because there weren't very many players in the box, but they just blocked that really well. I thought that was great. I thought they were able to run the ball at times when they needed it. Ohio State had a rushing success rate of just about 50% in this game. Texas's was only 33. So if you're able to have success in the running game 50% of the time, you know, I feel pretty good about that. So there's not a ton of rushing yards for Ohio State, but that's also because they only ran the ball with Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson 15 times combined. So they weren't really running the ball a whole lot, but they were able to still make plays and make things happen. So, yeah, and Dave's right. The Texas defensive line is really good. Yeah, and they're fresh too. That's the biggest thing about the Texas defensive line is how much they rotate those guys and how fresh they stay. And I think that's why you saw the dominance of the defensive line start to happen in the second quarter because of how much they were rotating guys in. That was really when it started to show, and Ohio State's offensive line was starting to get tired. So, yeah. Dave also says, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to be a huge Notre Dame fan on Monday. I've had family members and friends that went to Notre Dame, and I've been to a lot of Notre Dame games. Hey, Dave, I get it. No worries. I was just saying before, I feel like I never really hated Notre Dame. I just wasn't a big Brian Kelly fan. So, I kind of view Notre Dame as a little bit of a Big Ten honorary member at this point. I feel like it's inevitable that they will join the Big Ten at some point, whether they want to or not. But it's going to happen at some point. So you know what? Might as well start embracing them now. So yeah, Montana says, "Okay, we back." I apologize. I hit the end button instead of the leave button by accident. So yeah, we're back. All right, let's get to the defensive grades. These are going to be much better. The D line, I give an A to the D line of Ohio State in this one. JT Tuimoloau got injured, went out of the game. He was able to come back. He was still very disruptive. Wasn't able to get any sacks when he came back, but was still very disruptive. Good for him. Jack Sawyer, obviously, with the strip, the fumble at the end of the game to seal the game. So great job by him there. And Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton, the interior guys on the defensive line. I mentioned the rushing stat. The rushing success rate stat on the Ohio State Voice of College Football channel show, like, you don't see a ton of stats from the defensive tackles, and sometimes they don't always get the love that they deserve because of that. But when you're able to get a team sub 40, around in the 30s of rushing success rate, that's pretty darn good for a defense to be able to do that. So I think huge shout out to the interior of that defensive line. I just felt like they were big all game. Texas, their only time they were really able to get success running the ball is when they were trying to get to the outside, when they were trying to run stretch, when they were doing pitch plays, all that kind of stuff. That was really the only time they had success because the defensive line of Ohio State just wasn't letting them have success. So great job by them. Linebackers for Ohio State. I know, like, there were a lot of good plays, like Sonny Styles made and Cody Simon. He's the other linebacker that starts for Ohio State. Like, they had some good plays, but I don't know. That drive when Ohio State just let the running backs kind of catch everything and really go down the field against them, I gave the linebackers a C plus. Maybe I'm being too strict. You guys let me know, but I'm going to give the linebackers a C plus because the way I look at it, like, that drive was almost completely on the linebackers that they were able to score. So outside of that, I felt like the linebackers played well. Sonny Styles had a huge hit on Gunnar Helm that knocked the ball out. That was huge. So they definitely deserve a lot of credit too. I don't know. Maybe I should go with like a B or a B minus or something like that. But I can't get that. I can't get that drive out of my mind. Montana agrees with me. Linebackers get a C plus. Okay, I'll keep it a C plus. I'll keep it a C plus. Cornerbacks, B minus. And I'm not, thinking about how good the Texas wide receivers are as much because they are good wide receivers. Matthew Golden, leaving, that was huge that Texas wasn't able to do as much once he left the game. But there was just a lot of holding, a lot of stuff on the outside. Felt like they could have done a better job. Jermaine Matthews there at the end, he gets caught up with a holding. Good amount of penalties there in the secondary. And I felt like Texas, that was really when they found some success in the fourth quarter when they were able to get it out to the receivers a little bit more. And I felt like that was on the cornerbacks a little bit. So, and yes, Brian Myers Downs, he played really well. My safeties, not the cornerbacks, my safeties, I am also giving an A to. Latham Ransom did have the missed tackle on the running back, but that he's open in open field like that. That's really hard to stop a guy, so I'm not going to hold that against him too much. But yeah, Downs on that pitch play, the way he was able to penetrate the offensive line, get to the running back. He didn't make the tackle technically, but he did trip up the running back and give time to the rest of the defense to swarm and get to the running back. So that was huge. Caleb Downs with the interception at the end of the game. And then Caleb Downs, such a big name that Gunnar Helm tries to point at him after he gives him a stiff arm and he gets a penalty for it. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Did you guys think that was justified, the penalty? The unsportsmanlike conduct when the Texas player points at Caleb Downs after he threw him down with the stiff arm. I thought it was a little ticky-tack, but, you know, Mike said he also thought he saw them talking about being a little chippy and being a little, you know, extracurricular with their activities. So maybe they were trying to shore up that stuff. So I get it. But, you know, if I was a Texas fan, I'd have been pretty upset about that. Yeah, Terry says ticky-tack. So Dave says there was a lot of unsportsmanlike calls in that game. It hurt both teams. And there were. Yeah, the Austin Seierfeld one is one I talked about. So, yeah, I couldn't blame Texas fans if they were complaining about that. Didn't really matter. I think that was the next play when Matthew Golden had the big catch on the sideline. So it didn't really matter. But, yeah, if I was a Texas fan, I wouldn't have been too happy at that. So, Terry says he pointed to the middle of the field. Oh, I thought he looked like he was pointing at Caleb Downs. Maybe I saw it wrong. But yeah, I thought he was pointing directly at Caleb Downs, which people are going to do that because they know how big of a name Caleb Downs is. So, yeah. And yeah, Brian Myers, the unsportsmanlike. That one was justified. That was justified on Trevion Henderson. So, all right, guys, let's get to the final topic here. And then I'm going to end it because it's 1 a.m. and I'm tired. So let's get to the final topic here. Final topic, three decisions that Ryan Day made that I felt like changed the game. Cameron Ross says, time for bed. One more topic, Cameron. Don't worry. One more topic. You can stick around. Go, says, go to sleep. One more topic, then I'll go to sleep. Three decisions that I felt like Ryan Day that changed the game for Ohio State. Number one, the screenplay at the end of the first half. For Ryan Day, not just to say, like, there's 30 seconds left, for him not just to say, yeah, we'll take the knee here, we'll go into halftime. It was the perfect play because it was sure enough that if it happened, if it was a small gain, they'd still be able to get the timeout, but it was also something that they hadn't called yet. So the defense wasn't expected. They were running at Howard so much that they weren't even prepared for that. And then you had blocking down the field with the offensive, all three offensive linemen were out in front of Trevion Henderson. It was the perfect play call. I know Chip Kelly's the one calling plays, but I have to believe that Ryan Day was involved in that somehow. So to me, it was the perfect play call. To me, it was the perfect time to call the play, and it was the perfect player to take the ball 75 yards. So, I think it was just an outstanding decision from Ryan Day. And then the other one that I have, number two, is that it felt like Ryan Day was willing to use Jeremiah Smith as a decoy. You know, like it was evident early in that game, they weren't going to allow Jeremiah Smith to get down the field and beat them. They threw the one ball to Jeremiah Smith where he was open, you know, but he was going to get hit right after he caught that ball if he caught it. So he was open enough to catch it, but he wasn't able to catch it. So he was open-ish. And then you try to force the ball to him on that drive, that first drive going into or coming out of the first half, the first drive of the second half, they try to force it to him. It gets intercepted. I felt like the biggest thing was for Ryan Day after that moment to say, you know what, we're okay with just using Jeremiah Smith as a decoy. It's okay for us to just use him in that way, and say, you know what, we have other guys on this team that can win the game for us. To me, that was the biggest thing. Well, not the biggest thing. That was one of the biggest decisions he made in this game to do that. So I love that decision from him. I wouldn't be surprised if coming out of it later on, like somebody, like a photographer or somebody on the sidelines, and they say like, yeah, after that interception, I walked by and Jeremiah Smith or Ryan Day went to Will Howard and was like, it's okay, you don't have to throw it to me. Like, let me just be the decoy or something like that. Because Will Howard didn't throw it to him the rest of the game. He only had three targets in that one. So, Terry says, into the half, wouldn't you credit that to Chip Kelly? I mean, the play call, sure. I'm just saying, like, Ryan Day is very involved with the play calling and stuff, even though he's not the one actually calling plays. So, as far as I'm concerned, like, I have to feel like Ryan Day was probably a part of that decision-making there. You know, if nothing else, he was a part of that decision-making to say, yeah, let's go and try to get a touchdown here. You know, that he wasn't willing to just sit on it. and say, you know, let's go into the half 7-7. You know, we'll be okay going into the half 7-7. No, he's willing to be aggressive enough to not just kneel the ball or run the ball up the middle or something like that. He was willing to go for a screenplay. So huge for them. John Jacobs says 3 Ryan Day decisions. Only recruit 5-star athletes, spend $20 million on NIL. There is no third decision. Well, there were 2 teams that actually spent more than $20 million on their teams this year, and that was Texas and Oregon. On3 put that out there. Texas and Oregon both spent over, I think Texas spent $22 million, and Oregon spent $23 million. Ohio State was still able to beat both those teams. So, you know, Ohio State gets a lot of the $20 million talk, and that's fine. Yeah, I get it. But they were still able to beat the teams that went for more. And it wasn't all just five stars. I mean, pretty much everybody on that offensive line for Ohio State is a 3-star recruit. Donovan Jackson was a 5-star. I'll give you that. Quinshon Judkins was a 3-star recruit. Will Howard was a 3-star recruit. Trying to think of other offensive players. You know, all the wide receivers are 5-stars, including G. Scott. He was originally a 5-star wide receiver. But, you know, so yeah, I get what you're saying, John. A lot of 5-stars. But still, Dana says USC spent $20.1 million. I don't know if I've seen that one, but if that's true, that'd be pretty funny. So, yeah. The last one I'll get to is the unwavering confidence I felt like Ryan Day had. I felt like Ryan Day, in previous games when things would stop going his way, particularly when Texas got the touchdown drive and tied it at 14, particularly in those situations. I feel like the camera has panned over to Ryan Day a number of times, and he's been like, you know, kind of sitting there nervous, you know, like maybe his hand in his mouth, or maybe like, you know, looking at his play sheet with kind of like a scared look in his eye. I never saw that when the camera panned to Ryan Day. Maybe it just didn't pan to him at the right time, but it felt like in this game, Ryan Day never once didn't have the confidence that his team would win. The camera panning today after the Travion Henderson run, and he's running up the field and he's doing like the finger guns and everything. And then the camera panning today, obviously he felt like he was going to win after the Jack Sawyer fumble recovery and run there for the touchdown. Like, but even in the hard stuff too, like when Cody Simon went down and got injured, I felt like at that point that was kind of where you saw Ryan Day was still confident in this team. So he walks up to Cody Simon. All he says, "You good?" Cody Simon says, "Yeah, I'm good." And then he just walks away, because he knew that no matter what happened, they were going to win that game. So I don't know if that's so much a decision, but just to have that confidence of Ryan Day, because I don't think Ryan Day's always had that confidence in himself and the confidence in the team of like, no matter what happens here, we're going to win the game. And I felt like he did. He did have that confidence in this one. And when the coach has that confidence, I think that bleeds over to the players. The players have the confidence. So for me, just absolutely huge for Ryan Day. So Montana is keeping score. He says Ohio State 28, ACC refs 14, Texas 0. I honestly didn't think the referees were all that bad. They were pretty ticky-tack with Ohio State, and there was definitely, I mean, holding again at this point. We're all used to it. But, yeah, there was definitely some refereeing in this one. So, Brian says, Day has coached a lot of big games. He has experience to lead this team under pressure. It feels like he does now. Brian, you're right. And I haven't always felt like that. He's had that. And I didn't really get great glimpse of that against Oregon and Tennessee, because they got up to such a big lead early. But in this one, going down to the fourth quarter, the chance for Texas to tie at the goal line, still looked like Ryan Day was confident. Still looked like he didn't waver. So, yeah. So, Terry says, I'm sure Woody Hayes was different in his first years than later years. Yep. I mean, you're always growing, right? You're always trying to get better as a coach. You're always growing. So yeah, that's what I think too. So, all right. Well, guys, Cameron said it best. Go to sleep. So I'm gonna take the wise words of Cameron and get myself to sleep. Thanks so much for putting up with my shenanigans, missing the missing the end and leave button on my phone and everything, and come back in for the live stream. Since I messed this up, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna cut this up into three different videos and just post it that way. I'll probably put both of these, like, take down both of these videos as like I won't take them down. I'll probably just put them unlisted or something like that. But yeah. So Montana says W stream. I appreciate it, Montana. A lot of Buckeye talk for this one, but we'll come back and we'll talk much more Big Ten Sunday. I got a video I'm gonna do with Jeff McMichael tomorrow. I'm excited about that. Jeff writes a good amount of Big Ten stuff, so we're gonna get Jeff and do a video with him on the returning players coming back to the Big Ten. We'll get that one done tomorrow night. You guys should see that one by Sunday morning at the latest. But other than that, that's all I got for you guys. So come back Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Zach and I will both be here. We will be doing the Big Ten rankings after the season. At this point, Ohio State is the only Big Ten team left. So I feel like we can do a good job of power ranking the Big Ten teams here at the end. We'll give those, and then I don't know what else we'll do Sunday. We'll figure something else out. Terry says call-in show question mark. I was gonna do it tonight, but it's so late. It's so late. I didn't want to stay on too much longer, so I just wanted to get these three topics done and then get out. But I'll do another call-in show at some point, Terry. Pretty much if I'm by myself, I'll normally open it up for calls, but just not tonight because, like Cameron said, go to bed, go to sleep. So that's what I'm gonna do. Thanks so much for joining me, everybody. I appreciate it. I will see you next time.